This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm delighted to share my first series is in partnership with Heck, who, like me, do things differently. Being an independent and British family-owned business, they use the finest ingredients in small batches, pulling out all the stops to bring that farmer's market quality to the supermarket shelf. In addition to their delicious original range, they offer veggie options too, catering for absolutely everyone, all of which can be found online at heckfood.co.uk and in the major supermarkets too. Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to simplify nutrition, equipping you with all the evidence-based advice you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, Harley Street nutritionist, master practitioner, personal trainer, and best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well. I'm so excited to share my vision of food far beyond the confines of my clinic. I truly believe food should always be a positive aspect of life, offering enjoyment, fuel, and happiness for both the mind and body. I'll be joined by some very special guests, and we'll be talking about how to develop a healthy relationship with food, and what does that even mean? How does it make us feel, and how it can change our lives forever? James McVie is the lead guitarist and vocalist for the pop rock group The Vamps. James started his career after being discovered on MySpace at the age of just 15. Now, joined by Brad Simpson, Tristan Evans and Codable, they've come a long way from posting covers on YouTube to releasing their first hit single, Can We Dance? They've toured the world and supported the likes of Taylor Swift, One Direction and Selena Gomez before scoring 5 top 10 singles themselves. Their latest album, Night and Day, reached number one, and James is already getting ready for a sold-out 5th tour in 5 years. So I'm so excited to have him here with me today. Hello, James.
Hello.
I can't believe you made it here.
We're here. Yeah. It's thanks for having me, and I'm really glad I could fit it in.
Fabulous. So you've literally just got back from...
South Korea. Landed 3 days ago, and my sleep has been ridiculous.
I
know we tried to schedule this, didn't we, for like the other day?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's no way I'll be so jet lagged. I was up at 2:15 that morning, and I didn't go to sleep until 11 that night.
I know, I got your message. I was like, well, I'm not that cruel. I think I'd rather, as your nutritionist, have you resting than not have you resting. I mean, if we think back to that first video on YouTube and performing all around the world, how would you say, James, your relationship with food has changed?
My relationship with food has been slightly up and down. I think when I was like 12 years old, I was slightly overweight probably for my age. And then I kind of got into like a health kick to try and address that. But as I kind of grew taller and adjusted my diet, my kind of weight came down. But I think I struggled in those earlier days because it was that kind of whole Hollister vibe. Remember, like, kids love that stuff. And like,
it's so interesting hearing you from a guy's perspective
talking
about that.
Yeah, it's quite, I think it's a lot. I speak about it a lot, but I don't think many guys do.
No.
I think they get quite embarrassed.
So
I had a shopping bag from Hollister in my bedroom, and it was this guy on a beach, and I was like, I really want to look like that guy. And that was kind of like, at the time I thought it was just like fun, but I've realized it kind of like developed into something that was quite, I think, quite negative, like long term on me. I kind of had that ideal picture in my head of what I wanted to achieve without recognizing things like Photoshop are coming to play, strict dieting and all that stuff. And for me, it was quite strange to try and chase that kind of unachievable goal. So that was when I was, probably 15 is when that whole Hollister thing happened. And now I'm 25. So 10 years I've been kind of obsessed and obsessed in a good and bad way with food. Probably at the start of the band, people, it's quite funny actually, fans always send me pictures from years ago, the first album, and I'm like stick thin, and I didn't realize back then just how thin I was. And I think I did, I mean, I don't want to like belittle other people, like anorexia, because that's obviously like a massive thing, but I definitely had a negative relationship with food in those earlier days, where I was obsessed with, I didn't eat bread for a year, didn't have ketchup for a year,
I remember you saying that, and all this stuff,
and now looking back on the pictures, like I was ill and I looked ill, and now I think I'm happily kind of come full circle, and I see food now as a positive, and it's about building muscle and getting leaner. You need to eat more of the good things instead of, you know, I don't like the word diet, really. I think for me, I learned that dieting's not the answer or the word choice. It's selective food choices and healthier lifestyle in general. And that's kind of what I've adapted to,
I think. It's so refreshing. So clearly I mean, when we just discussed the word relationship with food anyway, food obviously means such a different thing to you now than it did back then anyway.
It does. And it's knowing that if I want to have like a pizza, it's not the end of the world. Like I just did this American tour for 5 weeks. And I was really worried that I was going to put on loads of weight, and I actually lost 2 kilograms, which I didn't, you know, consciously. The reality is, in fact, in the past 5 years, a few kilograms up or down, nothing's changed. And, you know, I've gone from eating absolutely everything to absolutely nothing to now in the middle. And,
I think it goes to show the impact that stress and actually the energy you're exerting constantly as well. Because when you're on tour, I mean, what does everyone eat when you're on tour? If we could kind of go into what is it? Is it like hummus with you? Or are the guys like that too?
It's bizarre actually, because we've all kind of changed in various different ways of how we eat. So when we first started, Connor, the bass player, and Brad, the singer, were like 15, 16, and I was 18, and we were just like kind of sent to America on our own, and we were like, we're going to eat absolutely everything.
Well, of course, it's overwhelming.
Absolutely awful for a while. And now I think, you know, we've realized that we've been touring for 5 or 6 years now, and in order to maintain a healthy mindset and body, it's important to, you know, eat nutritious food.
Totally, because your body, essentially, I think people forget this about being a performer, is that everything is coming from the fuel you put into your body. Your body is your tool when you are on stage.
And even stuff like drinking a hell of a lot more water than we used to.
Yes, well done.
Brad
yeah.
is obsessed with having like ginger and honey in his tea, and like, and he's very, very like medicates his kind of his diet. And he's cutting out dairy now. And all these little things that as a performer, we've kind of learned, this is good for what we need, this is bad for what we need. So I mean, the drummer Tristan eats anything.
He
loves fried
chicken.
He's got very quick metabolism, and that's great. But the other three of us are trying our best to kind of have, you know, the leafy,
especially if you've got some vocal stuff in there as well, because like you just mentioned dairy for some people, and I remember being a professional soprano, that dairy, even for me, as much as I love it, would wreak havoc on my vocal cords.
I'm lucky that for some reason it doesn't
affect you're
me.
Good
I mean, it affects other areas like bloating and stuff, but for my voice, it's
fabulous.
I'm trying to get away with it somehow.
I mean, you play really late into the night.
Yeah.
Do you find that after you get off stage, you are literally famished? You're like, I want to get food. Or do you feel you're exhausted, you want to go straight to bed?
Well, this is the thing that's also changed for me. Deliberately. I think for my body, I feel better if I don't eat past sort of 8 o'clock at night, and then in the morning, I wake up starving, but that's just my metabolism because I do a lot of the gym. So I try now to not eat after 8 o'clock. It's difficult being in the band we are, because either you eat at 6 o'clock and then you're starving later, or you, because the gig's normally like 9 till like half 10, and you don't want to eat too close to the stage time, and then it's eating afterwards. But I've learned to kind of eat before and then I can get away with not eating afterwards. But it took me a while.
Well, it affects sleep. I think what a lot of people don't realise is that the more you've got digestion-wise going on late in the evening, it will probably affect your quality of sleep to some degree.
Right.
And then when you wake up in the morning, of course you're going to be starving if you haven't had dinner since before 8 anyway. So at least that's a quite healthy routine for you to wake up and have a good breakfast. And feel really ready for the day.
Yeah.
And next year is going to see you on your fifth tour in 5 years, which is...
Yeah, I know.
Can't believe that.
I don't know how we're doing it.
I mean, well, what is the secret to keeping your energy levels high? Because I remember we discussed this when you came into clinic about how difficult it is when you're in so many different countries.
I think for me, I thought the answer was coffee. And I have to say now I've got rid of coffee effectively, the natural kind of high off being, like, from after getting rid of coffee is actually what keeps me going. Like, I don't feel tired anymore. Like what you were saying, I never knew how in the morning you wake up with natural kind of highs and whatever, and then the caffeine attacks that and reduces it.
Yeah.
Now I don't have that initial like attacking from the caffeine.
Yeah.
I can sustain my energy longer. So I don't really feel the need to have like the odd pick me up. I mean, some like when we went to Auckland on our last tour, We did the biggest time zone change in the world from like South America to New Zealand. I had to have the espresso martini.
What is that time change? That's like,
I don't know. It's something like 16 hours or something. It's ridiculous. And but the espresso martini did nothing for me. So I don't do that. But I mean, you know, if I need like a pick, maybe some fruit or something.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds so boring. I know people listening will be like, why are you having bloody fruit? But
genuinely
for me, like fruit, like melon or something. Like
it's actually great to hear you saying I love fruit, because unfortunately in the world of nutrition, fruit can be a little bit demonized now if it's too much sugar.
Well,
but
it's
totally different.
It's a hell of a lot better having that than
an espresso martini
or a Mars bar. So that's my
They are lethal. The combination of alcohol and caffeine in those. See, for me, I'm so susceptible to martini. I mean, I know I've discussed, of course, coming from my singing background, and I kind of understand how it feels to be evaluated on your music, but not to the level, of course, that you must feel right now. I mean, the pressure. Do you find not only is it what you look like or who you're with, but how do you deal daily with that pressure? Or is it because you were so young, you've kind of become accustomed to it?
I think now, I've been doing this for probably 8 years, actually, since I met Brad. I've learned to kind of deal with that, with that kind of constant spotlight, I suppose. But it was very difficult in the early days. I suffered from having like pretty bad skin, like when I was I still do now, but back then it was like a hell of a lot worse. So it was kind of that realization that I was going to be in the public eye that was quite daunting, and I think that obviously fed into my negative relationship with food earlier on, because everyone around at the time, you know, you see like films and music videos and everyone's looking like flawless. And us four boys were from very normal backgrounds, you know, like very average families in like towns and whatever. So, and we still feel like that. We never really had, like, I think a lot of people outside of this industry think there's like a click and then you're famous and you're a millionaire and it's like everything's
really
amazing, but it's not like that. We still feel like those four guys we were.
Totally. It's your job in a way.
And it's very strange to question whether, you know, we always think when we're putting out music now is like, is this a true representation of us? Because there's so many people in our industry that you don't really know if that's them putting out the stuff. And is that poster really what they look like?
We're very
like, no, we want to be who
authentic.
We are. And and I think we're lucky that our fans are very sympathetic towards that. They're very supportive. I think they know when something's not genuinely us. Like there's been times where we've done this or that and fans have not been into it.
And
at the time it might be quite a bit of a knockback, so that's a shame, but then actually you know that they have our best interests at heart. So I think being genuine physically and what we're writing musically is really, really important to
us. Totally, because I think you've touched on such a few, so many good key points there, like especially when it comes to comparing yourself to others. In the music industry, it must be a minefield, let alone you must get comments all the time daily. Like you said, people pick up on your appearance before and now. That's quite a big thing to feel. But do you think that having a solid family or your gorgeous girlfriend and people like that, does that really help kind of keep you happy?
Definitely. All of us in the band are very close to our parents. For me, meeting Kirsty was like, I didn't realize until now just how important that was to me. So we've been seeing each other for like 4 years now.
Yeah.
And just before then, we met kind of like just before our first ever UK tour, headline tour.
Yeah.
And like all of our worlds were like upside down, because it was our first few songs that really connected, and we were like kind of at that at that moment. And having Kirsty there to kind of share the moment with me was really important, because you know, there's other people that we know that have let it kind of get to their heads and
of course
and have gone down, like, well, come off the rails really, but having someone that's there that has your back, that kind of knew me in the very early stages, now means that it's I'm comfortable in the situation. It's great.
No, completely. And I think having people to talk to, were you ever very open with your other bandmates at the time, you know, back in the day when the anxiety was really strong? Did you kind of talk to each other to get through it, or did you find even there you didn't want to kind of, I don't know, bring the team spirits down or something?
I mean, I think now actually we talk about it quite a bit, but how I was with food and exercise, we talk about that now, but back then, because when I met them, I was already in that negative mindset with food, so they just presumed that was me. And I think now it's obvious. Now we can go to effectively any restaurant, as long as there's veggie food there.
Yeah.
Don't mind having a pizza if I have to or whatever, that's fine. But back then, I would have to dictate where we'd eat, when we'd eat.
Yeah.
And I knew that it really annoyed like the other boys, because, you know, they're big meat eaters, and they've always been into you know, like pizzas or whatever, and like, that's normal, you know, we're guys
but
at that age.
There's so many veggie options out there.
There are now, definitely. And it's about realizing that, as I said before, I've now got to a point with food where I'm like, if I have to have like loads of pasta or a pizza or whatever, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And seeing that contrast between how I was and now, we finally kind of acknowledge how big of a shift that was.
Because it's so liberating. Cool. People don't understand that it's almost, especially relationships with food or disordered eating kind of things, there are mental health illnesses as well. So mental health, actually, I don't know when this date particularly is out, but it was Mental Health Day yesterday.
Yes,
so World Mental
course.
Health Day.
Yeah.
So really important to kind of touch on it and discuss it. And we know that it's claimed a lot of, mental health's claimed a lot of lives, hasn't it, in the music industry? And I think you had a particular friend recently as well, or someone that I think I saw you posted on your Instagram. Was it Demi? And
I mean, it's something that's really close to me. I mean, I did a lot with the UN Women, but kind of on a male side.
Yeah.
And it's about saying, you know, suicide's the biggest killer of men, like in the UK.
Yeah.
And you think, you know, there's like cancer, like car accidents, but it's still that.
It is. It's the number one statistic.
And I always say, you know, there's still a way to go, but we've come so far with things like, you know, like racism and things like that. But why is male mental health, specifically male mental health, because it's what I relate to, why is that so like archaic? And so it's ridiculous.
Do you think it's because there aren't enough role models like you speaking out about it? There aren't enough men talking about it?
I think finally people are. It's great that there are a lot of men that are coming out, and women, but people are open about their emotions. And I think that certainly 10 years ago, there just wasn't that, you know, there was the whole...
There's a huge shift, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely think within the next 10 years from now, there won't even be this massive thing with male suicide, I hope. I think we're going definitely in a positive direction.
Well, I hope so. And I mean, there's so many different statistics out there now, especially relating to mental health illnesses. But among musicians, there was a stat I found that 60% of musicians have suffered from depression.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Absolutely huge. And I was thinking about this, and it's almost as if it may be part of the art to be able to experience emotions to such highs and such lows. It almost comes part and parcel with the job. You know, you are literally channeling yourself and your emotion through your performance.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really bizarre one being in a band like The Vamps, because in the early stages, everything happens and it connects, and you're like, it's like an upwards kind of trend, and it's amazing. And you know, the song goes to, you know, top three or whatever in the album charts, and you sell out a tour and you're like, this
such
is
a buzz.
Sick. And then, you know, it can't always go up. You know, there'll be wobbles and there'll be dips. And, you know, for us, our second album, we enjoyed making it, but in hindsight, it probably wasn't the album we should have made. And, you know, and that was a knock for us. And we struggled with that. And you have that like ecstasy of like adrenaline met with immediate almost crashes
of them.
And you're like, God, and it's learning to deal with that. There's not many jobs where you have to deal with that, like up and down, such crazy contrasting emotions, but then in the public eye as well. So it's not like it's not like a normal job where if you have a problem there, you know, it's you deal with it, you know, yourself and your family. Like,
no.
It's for the world to see.
I know.
And that's been weird. That's been weird to deal with. But I think now we're lucky that we're in a position, you know, where we're making the music that we absolutely love. You know, we're onto our, we've just released a two-part album. We're onto another kind of bit of music that we're really happy with. And, and we've got people, and we speak about our emotions now.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because everyone is in the world. Maybe the
societal
changes help.
Well,
yeah, well, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Looking at from the age of like 18 to the age of 25, there's a huge shift there. And hopefully many more years to come as well. So we had a lot of questions.
Great.
From your followers.
Perfect.
A lot of them. Mm-hmm. I did kind of sift quite a few out. They were very interesting. I've got to be honest. Yep. They were the most diverse group of questions I've experienced for a guest so far, James.
Right, that's good. Good job, Bamps fans.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yep, Bamp fans, a lot of them there. So we had the first one here. I'll throw in from Maria. She said, please, please, even though you've just come back from Asia, when are you next going to South Korea? You've only just got back.
Yeah, oh God. I mean, we'd never been to South Korea. That was our first trip. And we had a great time, genuinely. We didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And we realised that we luckily have a following there, so we're hoping to go. It'll be next year, I would
you
have
you must
thought.
Have had the most amazing food over there.
God, you know what, we were only there for 36 hours.
Oh, and no.
In that time all I had was the hotel buffet.
Oh, it's so tragic, isn't it?
I know, but from what I can tell there was a lot of fish, which obviously I can't eat, so but the other boys went out for Korean barbecue, which had no veggie options, so I refrained from going, but it was great, apparently. I know.
I think we just need to shift a bit of vegetarian options over that way a little bit more.
Yeah. Give it a go. Tofu.
I have a memory of when I went over to Singapore, and this was with a classical singing group long time ago for me. I also had 2 days over there.
So again,
we didn't see
Not
anything
long.
At all. No, especially when you're flying with that time difference. So Jennifer has said, if you weren't in the Vamps, what job would you be doing?
I don't know. I always say like something like journalism, but because I loved I loved English literature and history at school.
I love English history,
but I just don't know what. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know whether I would. Really, I'd like something to do with writing and or history. I don't know.
Okay, what's your favorite period of history?
I did the Cold War for A level. Second World War is my fave. But I did the Tudors and stuff in my first year of A level. But
that's my favourite.
Yeah, I like it. It's just so hard to keep up with it. I can't understand anything I'm reading. So probably World Wars.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Mia has said, "What is your favourite country? Oh, this is quite hard that you've been to. If you get to see any of
it's
it,
it's really difficult. Yeah. I mean, I have a few favourites. I love Scandinavia. So Sweden, Norway, Denmark. They're like my absolute, I think I could live there. But I mean, aside from that, love like Australia, for example. I think there's, in every country we've been to, there's elements that I've really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And you forget where you've gone. Like, even like South Korea, I really enjoyed that.
And I asked, I had Lisa Snowden on the other week, and I was like, Lisa, how many countries have you been to?
Yeah.
And she couldn't even.
No, I don't know.
No.
No idea. I mean, we've done 3 world tours.
Yeah.
And
you need to write it all down, make a tally.
Yeah. The passport's filling up.
Yeah. Does Kirsty go with you a lot? Does she get
to go? She came to Scandinavia for the last tour. She just came to LA and Vegas, and she went to Australia last year. So I try and do it, but it's hard because...
Well, she's studying as well.
She's studying. Yeah. She hates it when I belittle her education. I'm sorry.
No!
She's studying, but also like... two of the boys in the band are single, and I don't want to be that guy that's always like...
That's really considerate of you, actually.
Thanks.
Bless you.
But I am that guy, sorry.
I hope they're listening. Yeah. Maddie says, what other singer would you want to collaborate with?
I'm not sure. I like, the DJs Chainsmokers. They're mm-hmm. really cool. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're not... Well, one of them sings, actually, Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably then.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That was a very quick answer, actually. That was good. Alice has said, what's the most romantic thing you've done?
God.
Oh, they all want to
Kirsty always has a go at me for this because I like to think I'm romantic, but I don't know, really.
What, does she not think you're romantic?
Well, I know she thinks I am, but I think I go through stages of not being too considerate with that. God, I don't know. I like doing things like, it's not like obviously on the grand scale of romance, not at the top, but like when she's having like on the tour before this one I was in wherever, I don't know, and she was having a really tough time at uni, and I like ordering her like pizza.
Aww, that's
and not
cute.
Telling her and it's about timing it so she's not already eaten, so it's quite hard to do the reconnaissance work to figure out if she's eaten or not. If she hasn't, then the pizza goes.
actually I think that's adorable.
Thanks.
And what's romantic is relative to everyone, James.
don't
you worry
there
about
go.
That Tom said, do you have a hangover cure?
You know what? I realised we played the last show of the American tour was in New York, and before that, I realised I hadn't drunk for like 3 months, and not even intentionally. I'm not a big drinker. I went through a stage of red wine, but I don't anymore. So,
do you think the music industry's changed in the sense that it used to be all about rock and roll, drugs, alcohol? Mm. Not really.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, I think there's a lot more people now. I was listening to 12BC, my favourite radio thing, yesterday, and they were saying that. I can't remember what the statistic was, but between like 16 and 24, it's like there's a drastic reduction in alcohol consumption.
Great.
And I'm not sure what the sole root of that is or the reason, but for me personally, I mean the other boys love having a drink, and I do too, but I think our schedule is quite demanding at times, and I'm not good with dealing with that. The other boys are like veterans at dealing with hangovers.
I'm quite glad you're not drinking all the time, James.
Throw that
one in there as well. But
it just ruins my ruins my
well
my
it's
day.
A depressant as well, alcohol.
Exactly,
so some people will be way more sensitive to it than others. And I think in a time now, this is just one theory that has popped into my head. It's not even something I thought of before. But because we now have social media and we have access to the internet and we can do anything online, maybe there's less likelihood of people going out to drink because there's so much more they can
do.
And before, we were just bored.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But for me, it's something like neither Kirsty or I are big drinkers.
Yeah.
We never have been. I think, you know, it probably stems from me being so obsessed with not having excessive calories.
Yeah.
And I never really did that whole going out thing ever.
Yeah.
So I had like, you know, I just, I've never done it. So.
Well, there's no harm in that fact at all. It's a good thing to hear.
There we go.
So we now have my favourite part of the podcast.
Okay,
this is the quick fire round question.
Okay, right.
Okay, right.
Perfect.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, good. He's very ready. Right. What's always in your fridge?
Oh, God. Probiotics.
If you're ever at home. Probiotics.
And kombucha. Kombucha. I absolutely love it.
Yes, James. Yeah. You can only have one kitchen gadget. What would it be?
Microwave.
Brilliant. Signature homemade dish.
Oh, God. You know what? Overnight oats.
Honestly, these answers are music to my ears. What is your favourite restaurant? It can be anywhere in the world.
Ethos. You've been there?
Brilliant. I love Ethos. Down the road.
Yes, so good.
The best veggie restaurant ever.
It's so expensive, but it's worth it. Ridiculous.
It's the weight on the plate.
Yeah, you pile it. Yeah, it's so good though.
For anyone listening, go to Ethos near around the back of Oxford Street. Incredible.
Is it completely vegan? It's definitely all veggie.
Is it now all vegan?
It's definitely vegetarian. It might.
I have some eggs there.
Okay, you're right. Mostly vegan, apart
just
from the
eggs. Just because I get the Scotch eggs.
They're amazing, aren't they? Oh my God.
So,
all veggie.
So good. I know. Okay, what is the one food you can't live without?
Chocolate.
Love. Everyone has nearly said chocolate. It is the one food.
So good.
Strangest food you've ever eaten.
You know what? This is not going to be a quick fire response.
No, it's okay. Go on.
So listen to podcast Joe Rogan, who I'm a big fan of, and he was debating with a guy that's into hunting about animals. And obviously, I don't eat animals. Yeah. I'm against killing them.
Yeah.
But he was saying, like, all these vegetarians moaning about people killing animals and eating them.
Yeah.
In the production of cereals, grains, pasta, wheat, there's a lot of like insects and mice and stuff that gets churned up in the this is disgusting churned up in the fields and then put into the food. So I was like, well, if I get offered insects, because for me being vegetarian, it's a really bizarre thing. Like, Kirsty's full on ethical about it, and that's her root cause. For me, it started as health and now it's ethical, but I'm all about like nervous systems and like pain, and like apparently like crickets, for example, don't have that nervous system. I might just be completely making this up.
So you now partial to a cricket?
Well, I tried a cricket for the first time in where was I? I was somewhere a few weeks ago in another country.
It must have been another country. I was going to say, it's not a common delicacy. No, it was the cricket.
I think it was South America.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I tried a cricket
by yourself.
No, I was pressured into it on a radio show, and I thought, I've been veggie for 3 years, but I was like, Does it count? I'm trying to debate whether I would eat insects as part of my diet, because they're really high in protein.
Yeah, they are. They're
apparently
really
good for you. And in other parts of the world, that's just what they do.
True.
So a cricket.
Yeah.
It's the most weird thing.
Do you know what? Thank you for sharing that. I think that was an absolutely fascinating answer.
Thank you.
Okay. Who is your biggest cooking inspiration?
Ooh, well, I've got your cookbook.
Thank you.
I have to say, though, our kitchen is, we live in like a top of a Victorian house that was converted, in my opinion, appallingly, because the kitchen is like a really narrow galley kitchen, and like me and Kirsty can't even be in the kitchen at the same time.
So
we try not to cook as well. We cook, but it's not, we can't really go to town on it. So we're going to convert the kitchen, and once we've done that, I'm sure the cookbooks will be plentiful. You for the moment.
Thank you. Yeah, mine are due for now, but I'll help you fill your cookbook shelf. What is your go-to healthy dish in a rush?
Just like loads of scrambled eggs. Lovely. With a bit of toast and avocado.
Perfect. Favorite childhood treat?
Ooh, it's really hard. I love, like, remember like Viennetta ice cream? I still get it.
Oh my goodness, I used to love that with like the layer of like the
chocolate.
Because the cold, it's crisp.
Yeah, I love it. That was my thing.
Yeah, great answer. Okay, what is the last thing that you tried for the first time? You can't use the cricket example.
Cricket probably, but I had jackfruit's quite a recent thing of mine. I was in Whole Foods and they do like a barbecue jackfruit thing. So I tried that and I loved it.
Do you know what? There's quite a few restaurants now in London. Like jackfruit.
Do the burgers.
Jackfruit burgers. I was thinking of you the other day, actually, because there's a restaurant that you would have loved. Thank you, James. Excellent answers for the quick fire round. Now, we close every single podcast with a food for thought.
Right, okay.
So I'm going to read mine to you now. Mm-hmm. So with you obviously being very, very open to how anxiety affects you, I wanted to share that the Mental Health Foundation's recent survey suggests that 74% of the UK over the past year have felt so stressed that they've been so overwhelmed or unable to cope. 46% said they ate unhealthily due to stress, and 29% said that they started to increase their drinking as a result as well. So symptoms of anxiety that, as obviously we know, it can include weak muscles, dizzy spells, you know, dry mouth, a lack of appetite. So I want to help a few people out there with some tips, you know, just to manage these difficult times. So the first tip that I've got to offer is recovery. So learning relaxation techniques like yoga, massage, meditation, all of these can help you breathe easier and reduce negative feelings. And then we've got drink in moderation, which we've already discussed, And also we've discussed the caffeine, but people don't really know that 2 or 3 cups of coffee a day is probably a better amount than 6 or 7. I know. And none after lunchtime, because it stays in your system for up to 12 hours. So it can definitely affect your sleep. Yeah. The final thought would be healthy eating, which we both know, lots of fruit and vegetables, ensuring your body can function optimally, because if you look after your body, it will look after you. So those kind of tips encompass my food for thought today. Do you have anything, I'm throwing you on the spot, that you would want to leave listeners with today that's your food for thought?
I think my general advice after having 10 years of problems with food and having a healthy mindset is that word diet is the enemy for me.
Yeah.
It's not about, like, what's the point in saying, right, I'm not going to eat bread for a year, because I'm the example, it doesn't bloody work. So
yeah,
it's about, instead of saying, right, I'm going to cut this, I'm going to cut that, I'm going to do this for 6 months, that's not sustainable. I would say try to adjust your mindset and outlook on food, and have, you know, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. And if you can adjust that way, then you'll feel a hell of a lot better.
Oh, I always feel so proud of you. What a wonderful, wonderful food for thought. James,
thank you.
Thank you so much for being so open and honest and brave, actually, and sharing everything with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll absolutely love my next guest. So click subscribe to be the first to hear it. And remember, a bit of extra guidance and advice may be all it takes to help you become the healthiest and happiest version of you. In my part handbook and part recipe book, Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, you can follow the structure of a session with me in clinic, gaining the confidence you need to create delicious, nourishing meals at home with my Renourish menu. Check it out on Amazon or all major bookshops. For more information about me, my clinic, recipes, events, health retreats, and so much more, please visit Retrition.com and follow me at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. If you believe that healthy eating is expensive, you're not alone. The BBC say up to 80% of the UK struggle to afford healthy food. But let me assure you, it just isn't true. And importantly, cheap does not necessarily mean unhealthy. Yet one food I cannot defend is cheap sausages. You know the ones I mean. Seriously, buy the food you can afford and enjoy it, but if you love sausages, you'll love heck. There's chicken, pork, veggie, and all sorts of varieties in your local supermarket, or check out heckfood.co.uk. And remember, when it comes to sausages, the healthiest tend to be those with a high meat or veg content, because it usually means there's less unnecessary stuff being used to bulk them out.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.